The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, we all know our computers and phones are vulnerable to hacking, but apparently it's also quite common for our cars to be the subject of cyber attacks. Joining us to explain how we can protect ourselves, we are joined by Geraldine Herbert, a motoring editor and columnist with the Sunday Independent. Geraldine, can our cars really be hacked?
They can indeed, Shane. I know it sounds very scary, but I suppose you need to distinguish two things. There's the technical possibility, and then there's the real world instances. So because software governs many of the core functions in our car, it can be hacked pretty much in the same way as anything else that's computer-based. But the good news is car makers spend lots of money protecting us. But it can be hacked. Hackers can gain access through, because we talk about cars being connected now, so they have all of these like connected systems within their car. So hackers can technically gain access that way in the same way as they could hack your smartphone.
So they could potentially open your car and steal it by hacking it, could they?
Yeah, they could. Now, a lot of this has been demonstrated by what they call ethical hackers. And there was a group in the States in 2024, and they discovered a vulnerability with Kia cars. And basically what they did was Kia had a website that dealers and owners used to manage their connected features. So remote locking, starting the engine, finding the car on a map, all of those things. And they were able to just hack into the system, pretend to be a dealer, and then just having the license plate in the car, be able to control literally millions of Kias. So they could do all sorts of things. They could track the movements, they could unlock it, they could honk the horn, they could even start the engine remotely. Now, they reported all of this to Kia and Kia fixed it, and they have done this with other car makers. But that's the sort of thing you could do if it fell into the wrong hands and you weren't just doing it to test for vulnerabilities. You can imagine what could happen.
So, I mean, is it potentially possible? And I know there's only a tiny minority of people who might want to do this, but is it technically possible, say, for a criminal gang who are a terrorist gang, for example, to hack the car of somebody and, I don't know, make the brakes not work or increase the acceleration or something that in order to cause an accident?
The kind of Hollywood style hacking that we would imagine we'd see in a film. Technically, it would be possible in the sense that, as I said, how hackers get in is through vulnerabilities in back-end systems or through third-party systems. If you think about all of the various services that are provided in your car through navigation, you might have a mobile app, you have Bluetooth, you have Wi-Fi, all of those, you have cloud services, your information is being sent to clouds, all of those things, if there are vulnerabilities in those, I mean, and you know, an experienced hacker could get in, once they get into the system at all, they could then control it. But this is why car makers spend a lot of money and they get the likes of these ethical hackers to test these systems, securing that. But yeah, technically, I mean, it is possible, Shane, there's no doubt about that.
But I suppose much more likely is if your car is hacked that your personal data could be vulnerable. That's probably a more likely scenario.
Yeah, again, we saw this before in Volkswagen in Germany in early last year, 800,000 drivers, their information about where they visited, all of the sort of stuff that was stored on their car was actually sent to a cloud, and then it was insecure data and it was could be taken by anyone. So we know that that kind of thing happens. And I'm not sure that people realise as well the kind of information that's stored about them. And like anything else, Shane, when it comes to data, it's more than the sum of its parts. Knowing various different things about somebody, you can construct quite a profile about them.
Yeah.
There's a huge amount of information that's stored on your car, or stored in your car about you.
Okay, so are there things we can do? Are there things we should be doing?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is, and I'm not sure people are aware of this, if you're selling your car, you really should be cleaning it. Like, nobody would hand over their smartphone to somebody else and go, there's a phone for you, take
it. I would never have thought of this.
Yeah.
I would sell my car in the morning and I would hand over the keys and I wouldn't have it wouldn't even have crossed my mind, I have to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, the kind of information that's on your car is where you live, where you work, where you shop, where you spend your free time, because you get there through your car. So over time, if you think about it, your car is this evolving record of your routines and your habits. You really need to clean that off your car. And the easiest way to do it is if you just go into your infotainment system and scroll down through the settings, there should be an option to delete personal data or a factory reset. And that basically wipes your call logs, your messages, your apps, all of those things. Then ensure that you've actually opted out of any apps that you have on your computer, on your car. Disconnect from all of those. If the car maker has a mobile app, make sure that you're, you know, you've disconnected from that. And also then, in terms of future data sharing, if you want to check this, you can do this now. You can turn off non-essential data sharing as well if you kind of scroll through the marketing and usage stuff that's on. It should be buried somewhere in your infotainment system, but there's usually a little button for these things. So you've actually given consent, probably without even knowing, because you just, you know, turned it on and you clicked an OK button. So there are things like that you can do all the time, but definitely if you're selling your car, make sure the whole lot is wiped.
Okay, and should we be, is there anything we can do about future data sharing? Can we stop doing that, or can we limit that in some way?
I mean, look, you can treat your car like a smartphone, so you can check your settings and you can manage your permissions, but essentially, I suppose convenience comes with a trade-off, yeah, and the trade-off is usually your data, so you have to decide how much do you want to share.
Okay, so it's more if you're selling the car, you should be wiping all that data away. It's an absolutely fascinating thing. I hadn't thought about it, but it's all incredibly logical when you explain it. But I hadn't thought about it up to now. But really interesting. Thank you indeed for talking to us. Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor and columnist with the Sunday Independent. Thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.